reading tonight is found in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 34. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. They had talked and discussed these things with each other. Jesus came himself up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly the evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' This is the word of God."
Well, good evening, everyone. Wasn't that film amazing, of those children? My title here, for what it's worth, is The Pastor of Theology. And I've spent 30-odd years studying theology, reading it, writing it, but that three-minute clip was as good as it gets. I mean, that 3 minutes was better than 3 years of theological seminary that I went to. I thought it was absolutely extraordinary. And that little girl, age 4, his body was broken so that we could mend. He gave his blood so we didn't have to. And I spoke to her mother this morning, and she said, we didn't hear, we didn't say any of that. We don't know where she got that from. Absolutely profound, out of the mouths of babes and infants. Well, 3 weeks ago in the Six Nations rugby tournament, England were 2 points down with 2 minutes left to play in extra time. We were up against what appeared to be a better team, in fact, what was claimed to be the best team in the world. The clock was ticking down, and then a last courageous play. At the last moment, Marcus Smith drop kicks a goal to take England 1 point ahead, and we win by 23-22. What a match, and what a kick, and what a win, and what a point, and what a turnaround. And I wasn't tasked to think this evening, just briefly, about the great turnaround that happened 2,000 years ago at the tomb where Christ was laid, and the turnaround that can happen in our life here this evening. When we speak of a turnaround, we think about an unexpected change that results in a favorable situation. We speak about a turnaround in economics when a company moves from poor performance into profit, or where a country moves from recession into growth. We speak about turnaround in a reputation where someone moves from being a pariah to being popular. We speak about a turnaround in politics when some unexpected politician or unlikely party or policy wins. On Easter Day, we celebrate the greatest turnaround in history. And following what was the fiercest battle and the bleakest day, when it seemed that evil had won, injustice had won, there was yet a final play and a final kick, and the stone rolled away, and Jesus was back from the dead, and life was offered to all. And the first thing I want us to think about this evening is this, that Jesus is the King of the turnaround. He's the King of the turnaround. And Jesus spent his whole life, his whole ministry, and his death, and his resurrection, turning things around for others. I was thinking this week about his very first miracle. His first miracle, according to John's gospel, was to turn around the worst party into the best party. The wine had run out. Shame came upon the hosts. Mary goes to Jesus, says, "Now you've got to do something. Now's your moment." Says to the servants, "Listen to him." He says, "Fill these 6 jars with water." And they fill them up. And then they take out the water, and the water has turned into wine. He's the King of the turnaround. And he turned around the life for countless people. Those who were sick, he healed. The blind, the lame, the diseased. Even those who were dead, he brought back to life. He turned around life for those who were trapped by shame and forgave them. He turned around the life for those who were gripped by powers of darkness and tormented, and with a word, he set them free. And he turned around life for those who were searching for God and searching for life and searching for meaning. And he gave them the answer and he showed them the way. But it seemed that the carnival was over and the demonic seemed to hold the day and had snuffed out the light of the world. That's what happened at Good Friday that we remembered 2 days ago. And Jesus breathed his last and his body was dead and laid in a cold tomb. And the Roman squad had packed up and gone home. They thought the job was done. And the Jewish authorities were smug with themselves and satisfied that they'd got rid of this troublesome Galilean. And Pilate, well, he was just thrilled that his pragmatism had stopped there being some sort of insurrection and riot, even if it meant that he executed someone he knew to be innocent. And the disciples, well, they returned to the upper room, ashen at what they'd seen and ashamed that they had betrayed Jesus. And no one expected a sequel. That was it. Dead and buried. But no one reckoned on the turnaround king. I don't know if there are any boxing fans here. I love the boxing, and I'm anxious about the upcoming fight between the YouTuber, Jake Paul, who's taking on the 57-year-old Mike Tyson. It's slightly worrying, but there's always a turnaround. 50 years ago, the most famous heavyweight boxing match took place between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman in Zaire. It was called the Rumble in the Jungle. And you can watch it on YouTube. I've seen it many times. And Foreman, well, the odds were on him. And he had Ali against the ropes. And for 7 rounds, he just laced into him. And he pounded him like a power driver. He was a great big bull of a man. And he just bam, bam, shudder, thud, thud, thud. And Ali just covered himself up and just seemed to take it. One of those blows would have bust several of my ribs, but he just kept going. And then in the 8th round, off the ropes came Ali. and with just a left and a right, Foreman went down and out. An amazing boxing match. What a turnaround. And on Good Friday, the devil thought he had Jesus on the ropes, and he let rip everything that he had, all that bitterness, all that venom, all that anger, all that hatred, all that vile bile, and he let go left and right until Jesus was beaten to a pulp and dead. And that was Friday. But he's the turnaround king. And 2 days later, up he comes and knocks the devil down and out. What a turnaround. You know, George Foreman, on his own website, honors Muhammad Ali. He says this: many turned their backs on him. Then we all had to turn around and see what he did and love him for it. Many had turned their backs on him, but then we all had to turn around, see what he'd accomplished, and love him for it. Many turned their backs on Jesus. Even those who were close to him turned their backs on Jesus and fled. But then they turned around and they saw what he did and they loved him. Jesus rising means that Jesus' dying achieved its purpose. It was effective. His turnaround from death to life means that Jesus is vindicated as God. He said, destroy this temple, destroy this body, and 3 days later I will rise it again. And that was a demonstration that he was the Son of God. His turnaround from death to life means that Jesus' death is accepted by God as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, and that all who look to him and trust in him and say yes to him will receive the benefit of his death for us and be forgiven. His turnaround from death to life means that he can give us life where we deserve death. His turnaround from death to life means that he has disarmed the demonic. He's overcome the power of evil, and one day he will rout it fully and finally. His turnaround from death to life means that he's opened up heaven for us to come and be with him. His turnaround from death to life means that he's extended to us the invitation to come home and to be friends and family with God. What a turnaround that is. This morning, my friend, a friend in the church, told me that their son, Ezra, who's aged 4, that this weekend they had made a little Easter garden and put it on the windowsill, the little tomb and some grass. And then Ezra said, I want my T-Rex to be at the tomb. And she said, was there a T-Rex at the tomb? He said, yes, there was. And a rhinoceros and a funny donkey. Anyway, she sort of explored that more with him. But he wasn't for not, you know, for being dissuaded. And he came and she sent me a picture. This great big electric T-Rex at the tomb stood outside. I've been thinking about it all day. And I wonder what that might speak of or represent or symbolize for us. The T-Rex outside the tomb. Is it fear or shame or guilt or addiction or death? Often it's as if there is that ogre, that monster, that terrifying dinosaur that just stands outside our life. That T-Rex tried to put Jesus to death. Well, it succeeded and tried to end him forever. But when Jesus rose from the dead, down went that T-Rex. And those things in our life, that fear, that shame, that guilt, the wrong that we've done, the accusation, the condemnation, the temptation, the affliction, those T-Rexes, the resurrection, disarms and dispels and does away with that. That's what he wants to do. It's the very reason that he died. Jesus is the turnaround king, and he turned around from death to life in order that we might have life after death. Some years ago, when I was a university chaplain, one of my students, a beautiful 20-year-old called Sarah, was struck down by a drunk driver on the high, and she hung between life and death for a week. I spent the week at her bedside. She was taken to intensive care, and then when there was no hope, they took her from there to a side room, and we sat with her as she died. I was absolutely gutted. I'd prayed, wrestled for this, and I just couldn't believe it. It seemed so wrong. And then her parents said something that I've never forgotten. They said, "Simon, we have hope. For us, this isn't the end." About a week later, I did a funeral, spoke at it, and there, as we lowered the body into the ground, all around her friends and her family and people had gathered from university, they began to sing, "I will raise her up, I will raise her up, I will raise her up on the last day." And because of what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus died and rose again, we who look to him and trust in him know that we are forgiven of our sin. That means that when we die, we won't be judged for it and it won't separate us from God, but that we will be ushered into his presence where there is life and the goodness of God. And it may well be some of you tonight, you can be young and still be gripped by fear. I think it's a universal thing. Every community has a graveyard, but often fear journeys with us, gnawing away, intimidating us, threatening us. But we who trust in Jesus need not fear death, because we know that through it, life to the full, life forevermore awaits. Jesus is the turnaround king. And then secondly, when he got 2 points, so you're all right. Jesus met them where they were and turned their lives around. And that's what we saw in the story that was read to us. In our reading, Luke tells us about two people who were on their way home. They were disciples of Jesus. They had accompanied Jesus. We don't know if they'd been with him for some years. They'd certainly been with him in Jerusalem, and all their hopes were placed on this Jesus. And they thought that he was going to become the Messiah. He would be the king. He would sit on David's throne. He would overthrow the corrupt religious ruling authorities. He would overthrow the oppressive Roman occupiers. And he would rule and reign. And it would be prosperous and wondrous and wonderful. And they went all in and backed him. And then this Jesus, their Jesus, is crucified at Calvary. And they pack their bags and they make their journey home. And their hopes were crushed when the one that they loved was crushed against a tree. And as they journeyed home, we read Jesus came to them. They weren't looking for him. They weren't listening out for him. They didn't believe there was a sequel. They thought it was over. They'd heard from some of the women that they'd seen Jesus, but they thought they were probably nuts. It was over. And Jesus came to them in their doubt, and they're heading the wrong way. And I love the fact that Jesus came to them, came to me all those years ago, when I wasn't looking for him, listening out for him, wanting anything to do with him. He came for me. Many of you know what that's about. And he met them on their road, heading the wrong way, with the wrong ideas, in the wrong headspace. He comes to them, and he talks to them. and he reveals himself to them from the scriptures and explains to them that all that has happened had to happen. It was prophesied long ago that this was the inevitable, inexorable journey that Jesus was taking, planned by God before the foundation of the earth, because only in this way, when the innocent Son of God, as the Lamb of God, dies, would the sins of the world be taken away. And he revealed himself in scripture. And then they said, come into our house, tell us some more. They invited him to come closer, and he came in. And then as he blessed them and blessed the bread, he always wants to come in, and he always wants to bless. When he comes, he makes sense of things. All that had been going on, he makes sense of it, and then he blesses. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? Not heartburn, this was thrill. Their hearts burned, and he made sense of it all. And then he was gone, and they headed back. Scripture says, uses a Greek word, it says, they turned around, and they went back. Because Jesus is the turnaround king who turned around from death to life. He came to them and they turned around and went back the way that they'd come. But this time, not with a heavy heart, not with confusion, but with joy. Because Jesus was alive. This last year here at St. Aldate's, we've had many people whose lives have been turned around by Jesus, the turnaround king. We've had students and we've had scholars who are studying the deep things of life and meaning and the universe, and they find the fullness of it in him. We've had ex-offenders who've spent over half their life at His Majesty's pleasure, and then they meet Jesus, the turnaround king who's turned them around. And here they are, outshining. We've had recovering addicts meeting Jesus. All their lives, they've been dogged and hounded by addiction that has tormented them and destroyed their lives and damaged the lives of those around them. And then they've met Jesus, and he's turned them around. And we baptize them, and they stand up, and they say, I'm all lit up. There's no high like the Most High. We've had young professionals who have met Jesus, turned their life around. They've been living to make a fortune, and now they're living to make a difference. We've got ex-sex workers who've met Jesus, a man who tenderly loved them and healed them and cleansed them and restored them and put joy in their life. Jesus is always walking the roads. He's always looking to come alongside. He's always looking to make sense of it all. He's always wanting to come in and to bless and to turn our lives around. And anyone, whatever age, whatever stage, whatever race, whatever gender, whatever upbringing, whatever track record, it doesn't matter anyone, he will turn their life around. And how does that happen? I Googled this week, I want to turn my life around, and there are over 4.5 billion hits. That means there's a lot of people asking that question. And there was a lot of advice, 15 simple things to turn your life around. 8 things to turn your life around a day. 10 ways to turn your life around. 4 zero-cost ways to turn your life around. 11 powerful ways to turn your life around. 6 things to do to turn your life around in 12 months. Only one thing do you need to do to see your life turned around, and that is to turn around to Jesus. And when we turn around to him, when we turn to him, he turns to us. The great poet John Betjeman, who came to Oxford University failed his degree, and got kicked out. He became a committed Christian and ended up being knighted, a peer of the realm, and the poet laureate, the top poet of England. That's a turnaround. He said this, "What is conversion? Turning around from chaos to a love profound." And that's what Easter is all about. That's what today is about. Because Jesus died, because he rose again, because he opens himself to us. If we turn to him and face the Son, he'll turn our lives around and bring us life. Life now, life to the full, life forevermore. Amen. Let's stand. We're coming to the Lord's table.